That opportunity wasn't there. Born again, powerfully. Renewed, new creature, beautiful. But she didn't have this opportunity. Would you stand? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1 and verse 12. Let's read what Paul stated to Timothy in this verse. Read it together, please. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Praise God. Not ashamed of the touch of the Lord and the work that he does in our lives. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded. And he's able to keep, praise God, all of God's power. But here's the part that she really didn't have the opportunity. And you do. I have committed. I have committed. Now, in that short time that she was exposed to the power of God, the fellowship of God's people, the household of faith, she may have made commitments, but she didn't have the opportunity of week after week, service after service, like you do, to say, I have committed. And Paul, with his strong statement, I'm persuaded. I know whom I have believed. I know he is able. Praise God. And that commitment. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Oh God. Oh God. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence, your blessing that is so great. Thank you for the abundance, Lord, that you shed upon us. Oh God, I pray now that you would help us to grasp with our minds, with our hearts, what your word is declaring. Help us, Lord God, in our commitments, not to be frivolous, not to be flippant, but, oh God, to be faithful, to be strong. Lord, to maintain that commitment to you for eternity. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise your great name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you so much today. I have committed. And we read in the New Testament about Paul's commitment, and quite frankly, him being the prolific writer that he was, much of the New Testament would not be there if it wasn't for the anointing that the Apostle Paul had to write from the Holy Ghost. He wrote to churches, he wrote to young pastors, and thank God we are the beneficiaries of all of that writing, as the Word of God came forth, breathed or inspired by the Lord. Paul's ministry as a preacher, an apostle, a teacher, incredibly outstanding. And so, yes, we know he was committed. Romans chapter 1, he speaks of his position in the Lord and what his work would be. In verse 14, he declared, I am debtor. He believed he owed the truth of the gospel to the Gentiles. He couldn't stand by and just let them march into eternity and heading to a devil's hell. I'm debtor. I've got to do something. I've got to step forth and proclaim God in salvation. And the answer that they are seeking for in the Lord. And what an incredible work that he did on three continents. As much as in me is, he said, I am ready. I am ready. The power of the Spirit of God would not let him rest. He had made that commitment, and he declared, I'm going to preach the gospel even in Rome. And the seat of the Roman Empire, the throne of the emperor, the Caesar, would be a formidable place because of all the opposition, because of all of the persecution. But amazing results. Philippians 4 and 22 makes mention of the saints who are in Caesar's household. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord can do a work of salvation even where it is least expected, even where it is least likely to happen. The Lord can step in and do a work. Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep holding them up before God. Amen. The Lord can deliver from alcoholism. The Lord can deliver from drugs. The Lord can deliver from everything. Hallelujah. And bring about a change in their lives. Amen. Thank God for that power. And Paul would declare, I'm not ashamed. He said that in our text here. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of it. There are those who would think it's weak. There are those who would think it foolish. There were those who would look at it as a stumbling block. But Paul declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Thank God we can see the power of the Lord displayed in so many ways. Our prayers being answered, our bodies being healed, the hand of the Lord keeping us in safety, the power of God. But never forget, the power of God unto salvation is what the Lord died on the cross for. Amen. It wasn't just for a tingly feeling. It wasn't just for a boost in your wallet. It wasn't just for something to happen to you that in a miraculous fashion. But salvation is what the Lord desires. And thank God his power is displayed unto salvation to everyone who believes. Thank God. That is hard for us perhaps to grasp sometimes in our Western world and the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. But thank God, those who are suffering, those who are under dictatorship, those who hardly have any idea of what freedom is like can walk in the freedom of the Holy Ghost, can know the power of the name of Jesus, and can be blessed abundantly because of the power of the Lord. Paul was not ashamed of the suffering he experienced because of the preaching of the gospel. Much opposition, much in the way of persecution. But he said, I'm not ashamed. I suffer those things, but I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. Amen. Now, we recognize Saul of Tarsus would know about one God. He'd know very thoroughly about one God. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Praise God. And he would have that drilled into him as a young Hebrew, a young child. He would grow up and study and understand the scriptures and again have it reinforced within him over and over. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So when that divine encounter occurred on the Damascus Road and the Lord knocked him down with a light that he would later on say was brighter than the sun. And he inquired, who art thou, Lord? When he heard that voice, Saul, Saul. Oh, thank God that he knows our name. Amen. Not only that, he knows the names of your loved ones. He knows the names of the ones that you've been praying for and that you've been calling upon. Amen. He doesn't have to say, that's right. I remember you mentioning that. I better write it down before I forget. No, the Lord knows those names. And as you call them before the throne, thank God, the Lord is able to speak to their hearts. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? His question, his inquiry, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Praise God. And oh, that would turn his world upside down. That would change things for him dramatically. And thank God the power of the Lord continues to make that change. Amen. I remembered Brother Chris Liu from Taiwan and fluent in the Chinese language and serving as an officer, a police officer out in Bethel. and hearing about the Lord, you know, and people talking to him about church and so on. And from his Buddhist background, he's wondering if Jesus is real. So he offered this challenge to the Lord. Lord, if you're real, Jesus, if you're real, let someone come here to Bethel and talk to me in my own language. Now, what's the likelihood of that? Someone coming from China to Bethel, fluent in the language, and walking up to Chris Liu and starting talking to him in Chinese. But the next week, after he made that challenge to the Lord, the missionary from Taiwan is visiting the church in Bethel and speaking in Chinese. Oh, our God is a merciful God. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Thank God he can change lives. Thank God he can do a tremendous work. Amen. And thank the Lord. Brother Chris Liu is a pastor in Tuksuk Bay now, and they had 35 in attendance on Easter Sunday. Oh, hallelujah. There are others that are hearing that voice. There are others that are hearing that word from God, and God is doing a work in their lives. Amen. Don't have time to go into on many of things of the apostle's life that he experienced in the hand of God and the deliverance that was there. Let me move to Acts 27 when he's on a ship in a storm. And he was praying, obviously praying. And the angel of God came to him in the night. And Paul would testify about the assurance that that angel gave and pass it on to the crew. He would testify, the angel of God stood by me in the night, whose I am and whom I serve. He still had that identity. He still had that recognition. He still was not ashamed. He still knew who he believed and was persuaded that he is able to keep what he had committed. The angel told me, he related to the crew and to the centurion and the soldiers that were aboard. The angel told me, fear not. The angel told me, be of good cheer. Praise God. And he passed that message on to those who were on the ship. Be of good cheer. Amen. And it turned out just as Paul told them. You know, I wonder if they learned a lesson that it's a good thing to listen to the man of God. I wonder if they, they all lived to survive the shipwreck. No lives were lost. Paul said it that way, when in all likelihood, there could be a number of them that would drown. There would be a number of them that would not make it ashore. But every one of them survived because Paul told them. Amen. Good to listen to the man of God in the storm, and good to listen to the man of God to avoid the storm. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Paul wrote, I am persuaded. He used that phrase several times in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He wrote a list of 17 circumstances or forces that might cause a separation from God. He wrote them out, all 17 of them. And then he concluded, I'm persuaded. All of those things are ineffective. They're not going to work. They're not going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Moreover, he said, we are more than conquerors. Oh, yes. The devil with all his garbage, the devil with all of his lies and deceit wants to conquer you and your faith. But the Word of God lets us know you can be more than a conqueror. You can win an overwhelming victory, hallelujah, because of the power of the Lord and because you know who you have believed and you are persuaded he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him. Oh, there's that commitment part again. Praise God. Persuaded of God's ability. He is able. Divine ability. Amazing what the apostle could look back on and determine, I know what he can do. I know how he can provide. Let me take just a moment to turn to 1 Corinthians 4. and go through a list. And Paul wasn't doing this to make people feel sorry for him. He wasn't. He was simply demonstrating how the power of the Lord is there to minister in a tremendous way. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even in this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. See, that's why he was persuaded, because God brought him through every one of those situations, every one of those circumstances. Didn't falter, didn't fall, didn't fail. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, another list that would, again, verify and point out how faithful the Lord is, how powerful the Lord is. Beginning at verse 4, 2 Corinthians 6. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the power of the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Praise God. Every one of those circumstances, he said, I'm persuaded the Lord's going to bring me through. The Lord's going to make the difference. The Lord's going to provide. I have committed. Now you have to make that personal. Commitments are part of living. You enroll in college, you're paying good money. And it's up to you to make the grades and pass the classes so that you could obtain the degree. You make that commitment. Any kind of job, any place in the workforce, you make the commitment. I'm going to be there on time. I'm going to be there consistently. I'm going to put in a good day's work. You join the military. Brother Mike shared about the military in the Sunday school, and several of our veterans could nod their heads in agreement and think back to many times their commitment. They wondered if they were sane, but they committed. They committed, and their time and their talent was given for a period of years. You go to the bank and you sign a mortgage, or you sign a lease, oftentimes for 30 years, you've made a commitment. I'm going to be faithful to pay for these. Insurance, taxes, I'll take care of it. You made that commitment. We were at a wedding yesterday, Byron and Gabby. Beautiful couple. Real young couple. My goodness. But marriage works when a man and a woman commit themselves to make it work. Amen. In love, yes, but commitment is what makes it last. Commitment. Commitment to raising children. I got tickled when I heard one of the teachers I work with had just given birth. Her first child. She was commenting about how next 18 years of her life are going to be different. Guess again. The rest of your life. You're a parent for the rest of your life. Amen. And when you dedicate yourself to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that commitment gets tested. That commitment gets tried. Amen. And it's very easy to kind of slip, you know, and not be so committed and fool yourself into thinking those kids don't watch what you're doing. You're their best teacher. And what you're teaching stays with them, whether you know it or not. That commitment has got to be there. Amen. Tested and tried, yes, but the commitment can remain steadfast. Praise God. Stop and think here how the Lord committed himself to make salvation possible for you and me. The Christmas story, the baby born in the stable, lying in the manger, the angels, the shepherd, the star, the wise men, all of these contribute to the majesty of the story, the beauty of the story, and his vulnerable humanity that he willingly put on. And Emmanuel, God with us, how he fulfilled that. Amen. And the divine exchange that he made. This is his commitment now. His commitment made 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 real. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Who hath made him to be sin for us? Sin? That's what it says. Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was committed to make it happen. He was committed to bring about that change, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Rich in his blessings, praise God. Righteous by his blood. Oh, a blood sacrifice would take a commitment. Because it wasn't just a lamb that was taken out of the flock. It wasn't just a dove that was reached in and grabbed out of the cage. The blood sacrifice was his. Once and for all. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That was commitment, strong commitment, a fulfillment of Psalm 31 and 5. Psalm 31 and 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. The death, the burial, the resurrection, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for the resurrection, praise God, and the power of the Lord. Even things that we see the trees turning green, what a beautiful sight. Never fails to amaze me how, it doesn't just start at the top and work its way down or start at the bottom and work its way up. The whole tree turns green, seemingly overnight. Amazing. But God did that with a dead branch, a dead limb, a staff of the 12 staffs that were placed in front of the tabernacle, with the names of each tribe upon it. Aaron's staff placed there. And God said, the one that I make alive, the one that's going to have leaves, the one that's going to blossom and bud, the one that's going to have almonds, that's who I have chosen to lead you. Because there was a lot of lips flapping, a lot of tongues wagging. But who should be in charge? Who's going to hear from God? Who's going to be directed? And out of all 12 of those staves that were laid there, worn, shiny, nicks and scratches, Aaron's rod blossoms buds, almonds, because God knows how to give life through the man of God. If you just listen, if you just follow, if stop arguing, stop debating, stop trying to prove yourself right, listen, and you'll have life. And you'll see the hand of God displayed. You'll see that power. I'm not always going to be your pastor. I'm saying this for the next pastor that's coming. And you need to follow so that life will be there. Life for your kids. Life for your family. And the power of God being displayed in a wonderful way. We commit ourselves. We commit ourselves to it. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for his great salvation. Faith for forgiveness. Repentance with the change of mind, of heart, and life. Praise God. Baptism in the name of the one who died for us. The powerful and precious name of Jesus. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You may have heard Brother Mitch Perkins testify about his 3-year-old daughter receiving the Holy Ghost a few months ago. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for the power of God. Several of our grandchildren, 4 years old, receiving the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Lord that is continually displayed by the hand of the Lord. We commit ourselves to live by the principles and promises of the Word of God. Psalm 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit, trust, watch him bring the desires of your heart to pass and the blessings that he wants to bring forth. Psalm 16 and 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We become weary in well-doing. We do. We're flesh. The apostle says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. So we're going to be established by commitment. By commitment. Praise God. And Paul would write, 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brethren, in view of all that he talked about in the resurrection of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, all that he mentioned there, and how that there's a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Amen. The last trump is going to sound. The last enemy that's going to be defeated, destroyed, is death. Praise God. We're moving into that realm. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brother Wade's finding that out now. Praise God. And I hope you're committing. Say, I'm going to find out too. Amen. And the devil with all his garbage tries to deny that. But we are steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Not doing just enough to get by. That's the devil's lie. Just do enough to get by. Just do enough to be approved, to be accepted, to be a part. No, we're going to do all that we can. All that is possible. Praise God. Abounding in the work of the Lord because his blessings abound. His peace abounds. His life abounds. Praise God. And the power of the Lord is so great. The apostle wrote, I heard a voice. I'm so thankful we can hear a voice. Not the devil's voice. No, a voice from heaven. And that's what he wrote. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Praise God. The commitment. The commitment. I'm going to make it. Amen. Hallelujah. And we know the aspect of rest is not sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. No. There's rest in our worship. There's rest in our rejoicing. There's rest, praise God, in the reunion that we will have and enjoy. Praise God. Whoa, what a time. What a time. Amen. Stand with me now, please. Twenty-five years ago, or whatever length of time it was, that we were in Eagle River for that weekend and preached, and that 13-year-old girl had her powerful experience in the Lord. And the amazement and the awe that was on her face and in her expressions. Incredible. But I don't know that she was ever in a Pentecostal service like that again. What would she be now, 38 or so? If she's even alive, I don't know. Didn't have the chance for commitment. And here we are. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Praise God. Praise God. Let's come and make that commitment to the Lord again. I know we've committed. I know we've done it before 100 times, 1,000 times. But if anything needs to be kept up to date, if anything needs to be made fresh, it's that commitment to the Lord. Our commitment to follow after him. Praise God. I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded. And I have committed. Praise God. Please step out of the way there so other folks can come in. Thank you. Oh, yes. The power of the Lord that can minister in our lives. I need him to touch me today. I need him to just flood my heart one more time. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I thank you.